It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah. Let's eat, baby. Sunday divisional round, NFL playoff style. Gosh, this weekend's going to be awesome. I hope each and every one of you is as fired up as Evan and I are. He, of course, Evan Silva, at Evan Silva on Twitter. He is a rotoworld.com guru. Rotoworld.com is an amazing website, by the way. Highly encourage you guys to check that out if you're not already. I'm guessing a lot of you already do. By the way, you are the studs. You are the ones that are going to win next year's league because you're listening even though your season-long league is over. The other guys that maybe stopped listening or stopped really paying attention November or December, or they don't do it in January, they don't do the daily. Yeah, they're quitters. They're quitters. You're not. You are the studs that recognize that this is a year-long pursuit, a year-long disease, a year-long sickness. Really, it's your life's work. Forget about how you get paid, money, and the whole thing. This is your new life's work. I'm Ross Tucker. I should probably say that. My Twitter handle's at Ross Tucker. NFL. I'm a former offensive lineman in the league that just has a bunch of different media jobs trying to avoid a real job like the plague. I'm into fantasy football now. It's fun, especially this daily stuff. More on that later. Evan, let's start with how we usually start the second podcast each week. And that's talking about a defense or a quarterback that you really like this week.
Well, I think that the Seahawks are worth their price tag in daily leagues, and they're the most expensive defense, but I really think that they're worth it. I don't think that the Panthers are going to score any more than 10 points. You know, I talked about the Seahawks defense a little bit on yesterday's podcast, and you can go back and listen to that for more there. One interesting kind of correlation play in a daily league that I like is Paul Richardson, the Seahawks' third receiver. He returns kickoffs for Seattle, and he's probably going to play like 50 or 60% of the Seahawks' offensive snaps. If he returns a kickoff for a touchdown and you have both Paul Richardson and the Seahawks' defense / special teams in your daily league lineup, you get double points for that. You get the 6 points for Paul Richardson, and then you get the six points for the Seahawks defense special teams. So that would be a total, you know, badass play if you could deliver on that. And I mean, I don't know what the percentage on that happening is. You know, maybe 5% or lower, but that would be a correlation play. Yeah.
I like it. You're thinking outside the box and you're trying to come up with something that could really get it so you're actually the guy that wins the $1 million.
Yeah, and actually, you know, even if you don't come up with that, and Paul Richardson goes, he's so cheap that if he goes out and has, you know, 3 catches for 40 yards, you're still in it. So it's not just, you know, a one-dimensional idea there. And then I think that there are defenses that are interesting as well. I think that Denver at home against Andrew Luck. I know Luck didn't have – I don't think he had a single turnover last week, and we thought he might. But he, you know, he can have those games where he throws 2 interceptions and gets hit and, you know, loses a fumble. So because his offensive line is really bad. So I like the Broncos D, and I also like the Packers defense a little bit. They're pretty cheap. You know, and Tony Romo, he's been unbelievable. I don't want to discredit him at all. I mean, I've always liked Tony Romo. A lot of people don't like him, but he is prone to, I mean, he will have some, you know, meltdown games every once in a while. And, you know, I think that could happen in really cold weather. He's got kind of small hands. He also has struggled historically in cold weather games. He's only played 3 games in sub-freezing weather, but he had a 3-interception game in there, and his yards per pass attempt is below 6 in those games. That was actually pointed out on Twitter this week by Jonathan Bales at Bales Football, who's one of the best DFS and fantasy follows on Twitter. You can check him out. But yeah, so I like the Packers D as cheap. I like the Broncos as a medium price play. And then I really think that the Seahawks are worth paying up for in most spots.
Yeah, that's interesting about Romo because he's actually from Wisconsin, you know? So you wouldn't think that the weather would really be that mean. That's how he played in high school, and then he went to Eastern Illinois. That's how he played in college. He played in a lot of cold weather games. So that is not one I would expect. Bro, let's rise. Let's roll. Bro, let's rye.
Why don't you say Bri, that again, Russ?
Bri, let's roll. Put that thing back, flip it, and reverse it. Gosh, I've been into music today. Even on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I was singing weird stuff. They're gonna take me away at some point. Anyway, Bri, let's roll Sunday style.
Next meal.
Well, you already started talking about Tony Romo. So, what else you got for Dallas at Green Bay?
I was going to respond to Ross what he had to say. I mean, I know that he played at Eastern Illinois and then he's from Wisconsin, but you know he didn't get drafted, so. Maybe he wasn't that great at Eastern Illinois, although I think he put up pretty good numbers.
No, he had really, really good numbers, and a lot of teams wanted them. He just was a little bit undersized. You know, I think he's like 6'1 and a half, 6'2 at tops, and it's tough to get drafted from FCS, man. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, that's like crazy to me that he got drafted that high. That's very, very, very difficult to do that. That's a fair point, though. You know, I would say in this game, I don't really see how the Cowboys slow down the Packers. They did not get very much of a pass rush on Matthew Stafford until the last series of the game. Stafford had a lot of time to throw, and I guess I just think that Green Bay's offensive line is a decent amount better than Detroit's. So Rodgers should have even more time. So how I see this game playing out from a daily fantasy perspective is I think the Packers move the ball very well, mainly through the air, very consistently. Rodgers has a big day. And so I know a lot of people are saying, well, Cowboys have to establish the run. They got to run the rock. And I get that, but I actually think that this game might devolve into – is that a word, devolve?
Yeah.
It is?
Yep.
It didn't sound right coming out. I think this game might devolve into a is it devolve or delve?
No, man, it's devolve. It's the opposite of evolve.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. D rather than E. Got it. See? Genius, Princeton. Anyway, it might devolve into a shootout. And I think that might be how the Cowboys have to win. Almost like Matty Ice and Julio Jones in that Monday Nighter like 3 weeks ago or a month ago, whenever that was, between the Falcons and the Packers. I think that might be how they have to win. Like, this game might be 34-31, and Romo might have to have a big day to Dez and Witten, and Williams makes another play, and Cole Beasley makes a play. That's kind of how I see this thing playing out. I don't see it being a huge DeMarco Murray game. I'm sure the Cowboys will try that at first. I don't think it's going to work. I think they're going to get behind. I think they're going to put it on Romo's shoulders.
You know, I kind of thought that they would do that last week, and they didn't. And, I mean, even DeMarco Murray started slow, and they still stuck with him. And then in the second half, they started to break off some decent runs. I mean, DeMarco Murray didn't really have – I think his long was 18, but – other than that, I don't even think he had a run over 10 yards besides that. It was just a lot of chain moving runs. And then the Lions, they started to put two defenders on Dez Bryant, kind of pulled one out of the box. And the Cowboys started to have some success. But I think that they'll stick with the run, Ross. You know, I think it's what's got them there. I think if they ever had an opportunity to get away from it, they would have done it last week because of how good the Lions run D is. I don't know. I mean, I guess I kind of disagree, but I do agree with you that Dez Bryant is a really good bet to bounce back. Whereas the Lions kind of double teamed Dez last week, Dom Capers doesn't really have a history of doing that a whole lot. And that's why Calvin Johnson historically has huge numbers against Dom Capers' D's. Julio Jones, you know, they pretty much let him go off. 11, 259 and a touchdown. I think it was in week 11 or 12 against the Packers. I mean, they're not going to go double team Dez, I don't think. And I think he'll have a big game. And you're right. Maybe that's what they'll need. I just tend to think that they'll probably stay committed to their running game. But look, if they fall down, you know, I don't know, 17-3 or 17-0, you know, I guess all bets could kind of be off at that point.
So do you like Murray in this game?
You know, he's so expensive on daily sites that, you know, I'll probably end up not paying for him because I want to make sure that I got Marshawn Lynch in there. And it's just, it's like almost impossible to get both of those guys in there. Yeah. But, no, I mean, he's going to get 20-plus touches. I mean, I think that's almost assured that he gets 20-plus touches. And the Packers' run defense I would probably describe as mediocre. So it's not a scary matchup, and he's probably going to get 20-plus touches. I mean, he's a great play. He's not for me this particular week, but I think that other people should strongly consider him.
What about at wide receiver? What about for the Green Bay Packers? Jordy Nelson at 8,300, Randall Cobb 7,300 on DraftKings. I expect them both to go off. You probably can't afford both of them. So do you think that they'll have big games like I do, and which one do you like better at that price?
Yeah, and I've experimented with trying to fit in all three. It's definitely difficult. You know, you probably can't pay up for Seahawks D. You can't pay up for Gronkowski, you know. But I mean, you can do it. You can fit him in. You just gotta, you know, your RB has to be Shane Vereen, and you know, you might have to go with like James Starks or something like that. And then, you know, you can fit in Cobb, Jordy, and Rodgers. And I mean, look, stacking a team like that, if you think that they're going to score 30 points, and I think that that's definitely within their realm of possibility, it makes sense, and it could pay big-time dividends if you just get, you know, average production from your other, you know, your cap-saving running back and tight end, et cetera. That can pay off. If Rodgers throws four TDs and Jordy catches two and Cobb catches one or two, you know, you're going to finish in the money.
Well, speaking of finishing in the money, the place to finish in the money is DraftKings.com. It's America's favorite one-week fantasy sports site where you can win enormous cash prizes every time you play. There's still plenty of excitement every week at DraftKings.com, even though your season-long league is way over. Do what I did. Go to DraftKings.com. It literally takes 5 minutes. It's crazy easy. And if you use our code, FEAST, you can play for free in the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend. Head to DraftKings.com now and use that promo code FEAST to be like one of these other guys that have won $1 million. Even if you don't win $1 million, you can win something. DraftKings.com. It's this weekend, by the way, so hurry up. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
Next meal.
All right, our final game this weekend, it's the Indianapolis Colts at the Denver Broncos.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm surprised by how that game went on Sunday and really disappointed in the Bengals all the way around. Now, no A.J. Green and then no Gresham. You know, we didn't know the no Gresham part, but that hurt. But I just can't believe against that defense that they had seven straight three and outs or whatever it was. And then they got no pass rush on Andrew Luck. And everybody wants to put it on Dalton all the time, Evan, but we all already knew that Luck is a lot better than Dalton. For the Bengals to win, the other dudes for the Bengals had to be a lot better than the other dudes for the Colts, and they weren't. So I guess the question going into this matchup is, how much credit do you give the other Colts players? How much of a shot do you give them to put up good numbers, lucking the guys in this game, or even good numbers defensively slowing down the Broncos? Or do you think that that was just a one-game thing against the Bengals squad that was shot?
Yeah, I think the Bengals did it to themselves, you know. I hate to go on and on about, you know, stick the ball in Jeremy Hill's belly, but that was the only chance that they had, and they, you know, they pulled him off the field in the second quarter. I don't know. I mean, these guys know more about football than me, so it's, you know, maybe they know something that I don't know, but I don't want to talk about the Bengals anymore. let's move forward. So this game has a big over-under. I wonder if that's a little bit of a trap, because I don't really have any faith in the Broncos lighting up a team with their passing game, and not the Colts either. I mean, I think the Colts are really good in pass coverage. You know, I would probably bet the under in this game. And the Broncos have a very talented defense that is capable of slowing down. I mean, they've got DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller, and the Colts have, you know, not a good offensive line. And, I mean, they've got players on the interior that can be very, very disruptive. Terrence Knighton, Malik Jackson, Sylvester Williams. I mean, they have a really, really talented defense. And I think that this might be a sneaky, low-scoring game. I'm probably going to end up fading it across the board in daily. The one guy that I'm looking at is C.J. Anderson, but there is reason for pause about him too. In the Week 17 game, with the game still in doubt, this was Ronnie Hillman's first game back from his injury. They used him a lot. I mean, he had more carries than C.J. Anderson. I mean, I think that it might go back to an RBBC between those two guys. I mean, Ronnie Hillman is pretty good. And, you know, they can run their offense with him. He's a great complement. You know, he's like 5 foot 11, 190 pounds with some juice. And, you know, they don't have to change their offense at all for him. I mean, he can pass protect adequately, excellent pass catcher. And he brings that, you know, that speed and explosion element to the table that, you know, a guy like C.J. Anderson doesn't theoretically have. He's 5 foot eight, 225 pounds, and he's really a power back. I mean, he's an excellent running back, but I could see them using both of those guys. And I still think C.J. Anderson might score, you know, a touchdown or two for sure, and maybe go over 100 total yards. I think the matchup is pretty good. But, you know, he's a tough guy now because his price has become very high, and I wonder if they're going to use both of those running backs. I don't know. What do you think, Ross?
I like C.J. Anderson in this game because I do think the strength of the Colts defense is their corners, and I think that the Broncos still want to lean on the run. I think they did that during the last half of the season, last quarter, whatever, for a reason. I like C.J. Anderson. I hadn't really thought about the Ronnie Hillman part of it, so that is a little bit of a reason for concern. They went to a six offensive lineman lineup a lot. I mean, they kept bringing that six offensive lineman in. I think they really tried to pound people, and also for protection reasons as well, because that offensive line had some issues in protection prior to when they were doing more work with the six offensive linemen. I also think part of the six offensive linemen thing was Julius Thomas was hurt. Then Julius Thomas was ineffective. I wonder if he would be a good guy to give a shot to. The problem
he's still pretty expensive. His price has come way down, by the way.
Yeah, but looking at DraftKings, Gronkowski 7,100. Julius Thomas is the second most expensive tight end at 5,300. More than Olsen, more than Witten, more than Fleener on DraftKings.com.
But that's a big savings, though. If you want to, you know, if you're worried, if you think that Will Hill and, you know, Daryl Smith and C.J. Mosley are going to lock down Rob Gronkowski, you can go from 7,100 to what, 5,300? That's 1,800 in savings. So, and you can use that elsewhere, right? So, it's something to consider.
He's definitely a guy.
He should be 100% right now.
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I don't think anybody's 100%, but I think he's it sounds like he's a lot better. So anyway, I think they'll run it, and I wouldn't be surprised. Julius Thomas would be a good guy that might – I mean, he could have a two-touchdown game.
Yeah.
And really help you out there. Conversely, on the other side, that's why I think Demaryius Thomas
– Ross, what do you think the chances are of Peyton Manning having like a real Peyton Manning game?
I don't think that high.
Yeah.
I think he can have a I think he can very easily have a solid Peyton Manning game, but I don't think we're going to see over 350 yards. I don't think we're going to see, you know, more than two touchdowns. I just don't think that that's kind of their deal right now. And they're going. Yep. That's the strength of the Colts.
Yep, so agree.
I don't see. I think Demaryius Thomas is overpriced at 8,500 on DraftKings. I'd rather go Jordy Nelson. Dez Bryant, some of the guys are a little bit less expensive. I mean, they're all in the same range anyway, but even Emmanuel Sanders at 7,100, I think is probably better value. The other side of the equation, though, are you rolling with Boom again as your second running back behind Marshawn?
Well, he tore it up last week, and now everybody's going to start him. So that makes me kind of – like, I opened the week thinking that I was going to just fade him, but then I looked at his price, and, I mean, he's still really affordable. And you know he's going to be out there in an offense that really needs him. He's not like a great talent, but he's going to catch passes. I mean, their other running backs are not very good. I mean, I know Zerlin Tipton got some holes and got some yards last week, but – he's slow, man, and they're not going to use Trent Richardson because he's terrible. So I think that as long as he does not fumble, I would say that Dan Heron gets at least 16 touches, and he might have over 20. And it's not a great matchup. The Broncos do have a good run D, but Dan Heron's going to get the ball in space because he plays so much in the passing game, and his price is still so affordable that I'm having a hard time keeping him out of my lineups.
What about anybody else on offense? Do you think Luck has a big game? What about T.Y.? What about the tight ends?
You know, I mean, I don't think it's a great like matchup. Like, oh, Andrew Luck, man, he's gonna tear up this defense. You know, you can't say that. But Andrew Luck can make things happen, and I mean, he can make things happen with his legs. I mean, he could rush for 35 to 60 yards and or a touchdown. He could throw for two or three TDs. You know, he's a fantasy machine. When he gets rolling, it's just the matchup kind of scares me off a little bit because I know how good those defenders on the Broncos defense are. So that worries me a little bit. You know, T.Y. Hilton, all it takes is one play for him to pay dividends. And if he does it twice, you know, you're going to rise to the top of a tournament, with a long TD. I mean, so if he gets behind Aqib Talib, you know, I mean, that can very well happen. But I'm generally not looking at this game. I think it's going to be a little bit more low scoring than people think. And I don't love anybody really in this game. I wish that I could love C.J. Anderson, but I'm just a little bit concerned about Ronnie Hillman.
Interesting. Hey, Brian, why don't we get to an email?
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
You know what, Brian? You got to do your patented where you put something in there. Everyone ask an NFL player and his buddy Evan Silva a question about fantasy football. Well, it's time to ask Ross and Evan.
And Evan.
The email is rtfp@rostucker.com. Just put fantasy in the subject line, please. Go ahead. What do you got?
All right. Well, dear Ross and Evan, I just want to compliment you on the job that both you and Evan do with the podcast. I crack up every time you open up the podcast with, yeah, let's eat, baby. It gets me pumped every time. Anyway, just wanted to pose a question to you and Evan to consider when setting a lineup. The scenario, 12-team league, I had the decision earlier in the season to start either Niles Paul or Marcus Colston as my flex. Being as it was the bye week, my opponent, whose regular starting quarterback was Peyton Manning, was starting Kirk Cousins in his stead. I went with Paul because I wanted to implement a hedge on potential successes that Kirk Cousins may have had in the passing game, in the hope that if Cousins did have some touchdown passes, at least one would go to Paul. I was fairly confident the rest of my roster would outperform my opponents this week, so I chose Paul over Colston, all the while speculating that Colston himself may have a big game due to the matchup. My question, is it a viable strategy to start someone you think may overall have less points than your alternative player in the hope of limiting your opponent's quarterback's upside? And that's from John Kolarik.
Yeah, John Kolarik. Appreciate John. So this is kind of an age-old question, Evan, which is, do you look at your opponent's lineup and do you try to, I guess, protect yourself in case some of his players have really big games?
I don't – so many people talk about doing this. I just don't understand it. The whole point is to try to score more points than your opponent. So, I don't know why you would try to score less points.
I think that's overthinking it. I think it's overthinking it.
Yeah.
Whatever Kirk Cousins is going to do, Kirk Cousins is going to do, or whatever guy's going to do, and I'm with you. Go if you think it's less points, why would you do anything that's less points overall to try to hedge with Kirk Cousins? I think sometimes people are trying to overthink these things.
Yeah, and look, I do understand, it gets late in the week and you have, Niles Paul, he's getting the start, Jordan Reed's out, and you're trying to decide, but you think that he's a good play and you think that Colston is a good play because he's got a good matchup. So you're looking for just anything to break that tie. Like, you really can't decide. So then you make this decision based on Kirk Cousins, starting for your opponent. So that's just, a total, it's like flipping a coin, essentially. I mean, it has about that much value. But if you really think that Colston is going to score more points than Niles Paul, there is zero reason to start Niles Paul. I mean, there's literally zero reason. You want more points, and that's the bottom line. So I don't know why people do that. A lot of people do it. I mean, I get questions about it all the time. I just go, try to score more points than your opponent. That's the whole point of the game. It's a last ditch resort tiebreaker at best.
Totally agree. And I think hopefully we'll get to even some more emails in the coming weeks. Obviously, we will only have two games to break down next week. So send in a bunch of emails with different strategy questions. I'm assuming we'll get a lot of daily fantasy, like DraftKings type question strategy. Bring them on, rtfp@rostucker.com. Put fantasy in the subject line, or you can always email over at rostucker.com as well. That's also where you can see the codes for both stamps.com and DraftKings, which I know is Feast, Stamps is Fantasy. If you guys want to support the podcast in that way, which is much appreciated, as is downloading these podcasts on multiple devices that you have around your house or in your office or whatever, or just giving us a retweet at Evan Silva, at Ross Tucker NFL, at RTF Podcast. We'll be back next week with two monstrous, monstrous breakdowns of the conference championship games. We'll get into some other cool strategy stuff and maybe get to a bunch of your email. So bring it. Hopefully you guys are stuffed Sunday style.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaton podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
When you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever. Yes, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Everyday TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.